and Tom.
John Tucker, thanks so much. Without question, the person that's nailed the many fan distributions of inflation is Jim Bianco. His call, I'm going to call it 18 months ago, no, it's not going to be a path to 2%. I'm sorry, Chairman Powell. There will be a resilient inflation. Jim Bianco joins us now in our studios, not between, caught between the White Sox and the Cubs. Jim, thank you so much for joining this morning. Give us an immediate update here on the fan distribution, the probabilities here of inflation 1 year out.
Yeah, you know, it's looking like that last mile is really running into trouble here because using CPI, we're stalling at somewhere around 3.5%. And if you go to what the economists call the base effect, the numbers from last year were very low, and we're going to stay there. And that's going to be problematic for a Fed that is looking for confidence to cut rates.
Right.
They're going to continue to see sticky inflation, and that's probably going to keep them on hold, I think, for the rest of the year.
I think we're at a tipping point. I think the zeitgeist here is so important this weekend, folks. It's not another boring weekend in May. There's something really big going on. It's in the Midwest is what's doing this, Paul. Lindsay Piggs over at Stifel says, do not discount a rate increase. Take the Bianco resilience of inflation and fold that over to any probability of a rate increase from here.
Oh, I think the probability is above zero that we're going to have a rate increase. But I don't think it's quite at that 50% level that you would expect one. But we are probably closer to that than a cut right now. The data is just not there for a cut. I mean, one payroll report that came in below expectations, it was still 176,000 jobs. And that's nothing that you would look at and say, this economy needs more stimulus.
So I think my Fed should be cutting now. What, do you disagree?
If you start cutting now, the problem, well, let me back up. We all have this expectation.
Planet, I want to refinance the mortgage on the Jersey Shore compound. But
right, okay. Exactly. And this is what I'm going to get at. We have this perception that if the Fed cuts rates, candy falls from the sky and all good things happen. And so why wouldn't they do this? Why wouldn't they give us the free candy? If you have an inflation expectation or inflation problem and you're perceived as not dealing with it and stimulating, if they cut now, you produce higher interest rates. The bond market rejects that kind of thought. If the bond market is totally in on the idea, inflation is done, we're going to 2%, you could cut all you want. So that's the key, or that's the rub that they have to be careful of. You cut when the market is worried about inflation, and you wind up making higher interest rates, not lower interest rates.
So what are we doing in the bond market? I think you've been a kind of a bond bear-ish.
Yes.
I don't know. Explain your bond call and how that's changed maybe.
Yeah, so I think we're in a long-term bear market in bonds, meaning many, many years.
Bond prices go down.
Yields go up, and they have been since 2020. But you can also have periods where you can have a big rally in the bond market. I started the year when we were under 4% saying I thought we would have higher yields that would go to 5% to 5.5%. Well, 470, if you will, I kind of moved to neutral only because most of the move is over. I still think we could probably get to 5% on yields, but I think that at that point, it might actually be a good entry point for people that are looking to buy bonds.
What does nominal GDP do with a resiliency in yields? I mean, do you just model out a sustained 4% GDP where the haves continue to prosper?
Yeah, or maybe even 5%. And with a 4 or 5% nominal GDP, you're looking at a 450-ish 10-year note right now. That might be kind of a neutral rate that we're looking at. So, you know, if we got down near 4, that would be stimulative. And, you know, once we start getting above 5 on the 10-year rate, that would be somewhat restrictive. So
right. In
this environment, we have to be cognizant that these interest rates are the interest rates that we should get.
You're in Chicago. I make jokes about it. But the fact is, this is a huge boni. These people aren't on Wall Street. And Jim Bianco, if I look at a 4+% nominal GDP, how does broad America, non-financial America, how do they doing that? Ed Yardeni says it could be the roaring 20s.
Well, let me divide the rest of the country into two parts. Those that are in the upper half of income, they're going to see higher money market rates, and they're going to see higher interest income rates. They're going to make more money because they're going to see more interest income. Those in the bottom half of the country that tend to borrow more, they're going to have to pay more. This is the stress point that we see in the country right now, where the economic data looks good, but if you look at the president's approval rating, it's low because it's still one person, one vote. So people at the top end, they're getting interest income, they're spending. People at the bottom end are paying interest because they've been borrowing. And that's why inflation is such a problem that keeps interest rates up.
All right, so if I'm thinking about the credit markets here, do I just jump into a two-year note here, which I can get at 4.82% from the U.S. Treasury, or do I take some credit risk out there?
You know, as far as credit risk goes, actually, when you said about a two-year note, I was thinking, how about a money market fund at 5.3 without any kind of risk whatsoever? Ultimately, I do think that there will be a point, if rates were to move higher, that there will be an opportunity to take some risk and get some return in the market. The nature of the bond market has changed in the last couple of years, that we now have a yield again in the bond market. And every time a bond investor looks at it, they got to say, look, I could start with a 5% yield. And then if I do some stuff around the edges, I could do a little bit better than 5%. If I do it worse, I could do a little bit worse.
Then why are we at a record high? I mean, essentially, we're within 1% on any given index of a new high. Why?
Because these rates are not restrictive. We look at 5%, and there's a perception that this must be hurting something.
It's not.
No.
Every anecdote I have from corporations is they're loving the environment.
Right. And we're, and even better, they're getting interest income. Warren Buffett's got $179 million of cash, in which he's making something along the lines of around $10 billion or $8 billion to $10 billion a year in revenue, where $179 billion would have gotten nothing 3 years ago.
I want to save a couple of minutes on this. I did this in my podcast, Single Best Idea, yesterday. Wendy Schiller of Brown University was brilliant. And this is off the Jim Bianco remit, folks, but I'm irresponsible if I don't ask it. We have a Democratic presidential convention in your Chicago this summer.
Yes.
I have political experts not saying it's going to be a redux of 1968, but the tensions within the country could make for a really difficult tension. How is Chicago getting ready for the convention? Is there a tension out there that there could be a lot of protests?
There is a big tension that there's going to be a lot of protests. The number that has been bantered about was that we all remember the 68 convention. Mm-hmm. That there was something like 5,000 protesters that caused all those problems in 68. And they're talking maybe as many as 30,000 this year in Chicago. And it's going to be a difficult one for a democracy if they have to put National Guard troops on the streets in order to kind of corral that kind of a crowd. But it is a big concern right now. You know, just from a municipal standpoint, living in Chicago, should I leave for that week is what people are asking
really?
Me, my neighbors.
Wow.
Is the congestion and the hassle, if you're not involved with the convention, going to be just not be worth it?
Jim, this has been wonderful. Jim Bianco, thank you so much. Live in our studios, usually to the Midwest, the land of Diane Swank, but we're just thrilled that he's here. Bianco Research. I really can't say enough about his call of the year last year on resilient inflation. Paul, 11 out of 10 experts thought Jim Bianco was nuts.
Right.
And, you know, here we are. The last mile to 2% is difficult. Richard Clarida earlier this week was brilliant on this. He says, we're not going back to 2.00.
I don't know what the big thing is about 2.0. I've never really gotten a great explanation. Something 2 to 3%, is that, how unreasonable would that be to live our life?
There's a raging debate, but to make it short, we've actually had a period where we were beneath 2%.
Yeah.
So the 2% is sort of a liberal interpretation, but that's open to why Jim Bianco like debate. Futures up 15, Dow futures up 88. What am I highlighting today and into the weekend? It's simple. The Sweeney, 40, down 40,000. We had a close of 39,387. Futures now up 0.2%, with the usual futures higher, 39,624. I haven't seen a bull market uncelebrated like this Friday, Paul.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen it.
It's kind of that classic wall of worry that this market seems to be climbing here. And I think the driver over the last, you know, several weeks has been earnings, Tom.
Right.
Pretty solid.
To Jim Bianco's comments, the real yield comes in from a 217, 218 to 2.13. You heard him say, yeah, yields are up here, but we are not restrictive. That's a key point as well. The 10-year yield 4.47. percent. We're on Apple CarPlay, Android Play as well on YouTube. Subscribe. Subscribe to Bloomberg Podcast, and we're out there. Look for it live and worldwide. This is Bloomberg Surveillance.